The question was asked when the Torah tells us in the end of the book of Vayikra, "Im bechukotai teilechu," if you will go in the path of, we have to define that word, chukotai. In many places in Torah, the word chukotai means my statutes, those mitzvot that we don't necessarily understand the logic behind them, such as not eating meat with milk. Why does the Torah command that? We don't always know the logic behind them. But sometimes when the Torah uses the term bechukosai, what the Torah means is my system. Meaning that word can mean one of two things. That word can either mean a specific commandment for which we don't know the logic behind it, or it can mean my system. Im bechukosai teilechu, so the Netziv, among other commentaries, the Netziv, the Malbim, and other commentaries as well, point out that here it doesn't have to mean my statutes, but rather my system. If you walk the path of my system, then the Torah promises us we will have blessing. So we know that one of the fundamental concepts in Jewish philosophy is that we don't see a system to the point where you could say, I did something positive, and therefore something positive happened. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you could do something positive, and the outcome is going to be challenging. And the Torah, in the parasha of Bechukosai, says, you keep my statutes, and things will be good for you. You'll have sustenance, you'll have bounty, you'll have peace in the land, you'll have a good way of supporting yourself, you'll be able to get rid of your enemies without having to invest too much effort, they will flee. So Nachmanides over here points out, Nachmanides was a commentary that lived shortly after Maimonides, that's approximately 800 years ago. Nachmanides was himself a doctor. He wrote a book called Torat HaAdam, a book that encompasses human life, and that book both encompasses Jewish philosophy and Jewish law. Much of the laws of mourning, for example, are derived from the book Torat HaAdam. So Nachmanides wrote many things, and he's famous for arguing with Maimonides on many different points of Jewish philosophy and Jewish law. But he was very respectful of Maimonides, and he writes wonderful things about Maimonides. At any rate, Nachmanides wrote a commentary on the Torah, and in his commentary he explains that there's a difference between the individual and the people. When the Torah promises us, you will do good, and you will see right away that things work out right for you, the Torah is talking about the Jewish people as a whole. To the Jewish people, what we repeatedly see in the Torah and again in the prophets is that when we behave, things work out right for us. And when we misbehave, then things go wrong for us. And this is one of the recurring themes, as it says in the beginning of the book of Judges. It says it clearly in the verse in the book of Judges. That we have to know that the promises of the Torah have to be understood on two levels. When the Torah is talking about the masses, so then the Torah is saying you'll see it with your own eyes. And that's one of Nachmanides' arguments against Christianity. Because Nachmanides says you'll notice the Torah promises things that you can verify. There's a beautiful video of Rabbi Gutman Lax. You guys know him? He's at the old city. He's by the Kotel. So someone came to debate him. And he says in the argument, he says really what Nachmanides says in his argument. When Nachmanides was rabbi in Spain, so the king of Spain forced him to debate an apostate, a Jew that had turned on Judaism. And Nachmanides wasn't interested because we're not big believers in trying to convince other people to join Judaism. We believe we have to hold on to our own, and we're not looking to dissuade or persuade other people. But the king forced him, and then they had this debate. And then when at the end of the debate, the king had to concede that Nachmanides won the debate. So then the following Sabbath, the king walked into Nachmanides' shul, into his synagogue, and gave a speech about how everyone should convert to Christianity, even though Nachmanides won the debate. And Nachmanides stood up and risked his life and argued and said to the king, I have a lot of respect for your majesty, but no one should convert. And he was banished from Spain. And Nachmanides recorded the debate. So in his record of the debate, he writes that one of the points that he made was that the Torah makes promises that are discernible. And again, if we put that comment of Nachmanides together with Nachmanides' commentary on Torah, we understand he's talking about the masses, the Jewish people at large. And Maimonides, although he doesn't spell it out, actually says the same concept. That what the Torah is really promising us is that we as a Jewish people have to know that we are judged collectively in many ways. We're also judged privately, but we're also judged collectively. And so the Torah says you as a people, when you as a people will be positive, you should know I am promising you wonderful things. The scary part is the continuation of that parasha, where the Torah says, and if you don't adhere to the Torah, so then you will be exiled, and there will be a destruction of the temple, and the Jews will be scattered, and there will be a period where the Jews will lose their sovereignty in the land of Israel. And unfortunately, we've witnessed how both sides of that parsha came true. When the Torah promises it'll be good, well, we had our golden era, and then as the prophets describe, firstly in the book of Judges, and next in the book of Kings, and in the book of Jeremiah, and in the book of Chronicles, we have a record of how the Jewish people evolved negatively, how the morals wore away in the country of Israel, and the people of Israel lost their moral fiber. And then as that happened, we eventually were exiled from the land, and the prophets forewarned that would happen. That's, again, this is stuff which you'll learn as you learn the prophets. So that parsha, meaning the parsha of Bechukosai, represents a concept of a judge who cares and is going to take us to task if we don't live up to our end of things. And the parasha represents the positive that we can hope for when we as a collective people will do what's right, and also the warning of what can happen if we don't do what's right. I would like to end the answer to your question with a point on our parasha. In this week's weekly reading, we will read about how Abraham and Sarah had a child. Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90 years old. So we have a tradition, the Talmud records, that Abraham minted a coin. We know that Abraham was very wealthy, and Abraham was also very well known. So we have a tradition that he actually minted a coin when he became older. And on that coin, on one side, it said, Zaken and Zkena, old man and old woman. And on the other side of the coin, it said, Bachur Ubtula, young man and virgin. And our sages say the coin was about the miracle that happened to Avraham Avinu, that even though they were so old, they were blessed. And in this week's parsha, they actually had a child, Yitzchak, Isaac. And so the question is, we understand they had a great miracle, and we understand they celebrated that miracle and thanked God for the miracle. But why did they mint the coin? What were they looking to achieve by publicizing the miracle? And I think one of the messages that they probably were trying to achieve was the message of hope and happiness. A person that lives in the world and they don't feel like God is watching over their behavior, so then it's a scary world to live in. It's interesting. I was coming up from the old city last night, and suddenly I see someone running towards me dressed in black. It's not a very comfortable situation to be in. Turns out it was one of the priests over there. And he was, I don't know what he was running for, but he ran right past me. But I stopped. And I was waiting to see what was happening. I didn't know. Now, today we pay attention to things because we're concerned. But the truth is that all of our life, if you feel like the world is just, you know, haphazard, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. It's a scary world to live in because we really don't control our heartbeat. We don't control most of our lives. There are so many factors that are out of our control. And when Avram and Sarah, when Abraham and Sarah publicize that God made a miracle on their behalf and they had a child, what they're publicizing is the concept which is a little difficult for us to connect to, the idea that God actually cares about each individual. Meaning philosophically, we can understand that God created a world. But we were always plagued with the question, as we learned in our Friday class, why am I important? Look at the galaxy. Look at the world. I matter. My prayer matters. My actions matter. One of the core points of Jewish philosophy is that, yes, each of us matter. Every one of us. And you don't have to be the top Jew. Every Jew and every person has a role, has a responsibility, and matters. And I think that that's possibly one of the messages that Avram and Sarah were conveying when they showed that, when they minted this coin, the idea was, look, God is paying attention to each of us. Remember, God doesn't appear to Abraham till he's 70 or 75 years old. That's many years that he was preaching and fighting for monotheism, risking his life for monotheism, and God doesn't say a word. Now, for most of us, and probably all of us, God doesn't talk to us, right? So we don't have to fight Abraham's fight, but when we learn through the stories of the Tanakh, so part of what we're supposed to understand is this concept, the concept you brought up, that our actions matter, and that God is paying attention to each individual, and that at the end of the day, there's going to be a benefit and a reward for proper behavior, and one is going to be taken to task for improper behavior. And that's a fundamental concept in Judaism, and that's the concept you brought up.